Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. One more regular season game down, nine more regular season games to go. Let's get to the playoffs already. Welcome to Got Your Back, folks. Ryan Rashog here in our Long Shot studio, getting set to break down the Oilers' loss to the St. Louis Blues. Long Shots, you know it. Happy hour specials all day on the game days. They're also available for corporate events. They are so much more than just golf. Over at Long Shots. And as always, the podcast, the show is brought to you by our good friends at Sherwood Buick GMC, the number one GMC dealership in all of Canada, volume wise, 6 years running. Can't stress enough how accommodating and easy they make things over at the dealership. The staff is fantastic, the process is streamlined. And if you mention that the crew at Got Your Back sent you, you'll not only receive specialized pricing as a bonus, you'll also get three free ultimate detail packages on either a new or a used vehicle. So great opportunity. Visit the crew in Sherwood Park, 10 Auto Mall Road, or online at www.gmcpod.com. Brownie, busy with his night job tonight, so just Struds and I are going to break this thing down. Struddy, how was your Monday, my friend?
Yeah, last day of no school for the kids, so busy. It's a busy time. I love it, but no, I'm not upset when they go back to school tomorrow.
I know. I remember that, man. My kids are older now, but I remember these breaks and how it's like at the beginning. Sorry, I'm having trouble with my camera here. At the beginning, it's like so awesome to spend all this time together and everybody's there and call. You got all these plans and stuff for the first couple of days. And then by day three, you're sort of like, when is school starting again? When do I get my quiet time back?
Yeah, it's a busy time. Just hectic. Trying to get the kids around to where they want to go. And then... And then you're trying to get some stuff done for a week that's starting up and, you know, the work week or whatever. It's a busy time.
For sure. Well, I'll tell you what, when they sneak back to school, if you want to sneak over to the Rashog House, Struds, we could spend some time together. A little bit of time in the garage, pal. It's all coming together nicely. My master plan is all coming together, buds, in the garage for the old golf sim.
Are you going to run that? You're going to run that 365? Are you going to have it all year round?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. 100%. Without a doubt. It'll get used most of those days, too. Isn't that the thing to do? Why would you put it away? Ever?
I don't know. I've never had one. You know, I never had one. I don't really know how to take it. What to do with it.
I'll give you a little sneak peek. I sent some video through to Zuby. Zuby, you can go ahead and roll it. I had no idea what I was doing. So basically just piecing this all together, kind of trying to figure it all out, Struds. But... kind of ended up going a little more man cave than I had originally thought I would.
So this is your garage, right?
Yeah, that's the garage, buddy. That's the garage.
So where do the cars go in the winter?
On the driveway.
Is that covered as well? Heated?
No, it's not covered nor heated. It is neither. So I've made a bit of a deal with the devil. And sorry, I'm having all kinds of trouble with my camera tonight. It's going to flip off this thing. I made a little bit of a deal with the devil. So basically... after any bad snowfalls and such, you know, I'll be the one out with the snow brush grinding my way through clearing off the vehicles and stuff. But wouldn't you take that deal? Just clean off the wife's car for the winter and you get the golf sim in the garage. Is that not a good deal?
I'm sorry. What was the question? I don't think I heard it.
You wouldn't take that deal.
Really? I would not take that deal. No, I wouldn't take that. I like stepping into a warm car.
You might get, I guess I'm might, soft. You might end up, I mean, you work on that handicap of yours. What are you, 17, 18, something like that?
No, I'm happy with where I'm at. I think it's 22. Aren't we playing some tournaments this summer? I think it's a 22.
As far as 22, I asked. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. We'll have you over and we'll compete a little bit because there's a lot of chirping on this podcast about our golf games. I think we got to just throw down a little bit. Oilers and the Blues threw down tonight. Oilers take a loss in overtime. Let's get to breaking it down. Brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton. Founded in 1939, just off White Avenue, 102 Street. Mr. Dirk has everything you need for every aspect of your wardrobe. They got casual clothes, jeans and pants and shirts and all that good stuff. And then an amazing selection of brand name suits as well. They can do customs. They've got an in-house tailor. Just an awesome spot. Sterling, Dan, they take great care of you. Visit MrDirk.com. Highly recommend it. Going to go get some new playoff attire here this upcoming week. Struds, I guess maybe we should start with the overtime winner. Bit of a misplay there from Ekholm. Unfortunately, I mean, he's been playing such great hockey, but what did you see there on that last one?
As a 50-50 pocket best, and he went for it and didn't get it, and he got burned, right? Like, that's just, he's been playing incredibly well. You know, these things, it happens. You know, when you're going for it, that's the danger of 50-50 pucks in those situations. There's no safety net behind you. You are the safety net. You're everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a guy who, you know, he's been playing so well, just kind of hoped for a puck, didn't get it. Boom, breakaway the other way. Saw it, jumps off the bench, fresh as a daisy. Bang, five holes. See you later. And weird game, really, really weird game. Yeah. Kind of both sides. But, and I think it's actually fitting that it ended on that type of goal.
So the owners, they tilted the ice late in the game there, trying to work their way back into it. I mean, that was pretty significant domination there after, you know, Chris Knobloch adjusted the lines. He goes with the nuclear option, the ice tilts, and the owners end up, I mean, what a play by Connor McDavid to tie that game up. I mean, that was something.
Absolutely beautiful. You know, and they were working hard, even in overtime. They were all over St. Louis. Even seconds before that breakaway by Saad, McLeod works hard to get back to a puck, fights for it, kind of makes that battle on the wall, and then the puck just kind of squirts free and goes forward rather than going, sorry, I guess goes backwards toward the older zone rather than going forward the way Ekholm was hoping, and it's a goal. So, I mean, I thought the entire overtime, the Oilers controlled that or were the aggressive team.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just one little break, bang. It's, and that stings, but that's 3-on-3 hockey. You know, that's what you get. I think it was notable that the Oilers went through three sets of duos for that for the overtime, which was kind of neat to see. Actually,
well, McDavid and Draisaitl, they changed pretty quick, didn't they? Like, they didn't get too deep into it.
Yeah, McDavid, and then it was who? Nuge and Hyman. Then was Hyman, it? I think McLeod and Henrique were out there, I believe. So yeah, it was kind of neat to see all to not go with his normal kind of, you know, every other shift out the big guys.
Mm-hmm. There was lots that happened through the course of that game. And I know fans are going to want to talk about these reviews. What did you think about, I mean, there were three of them. Let's just work our way through them. What did you think about each of them? And then I'm sure there'll be another discussion about how long the first one, that was something.
Yeah. Well, let's start. What was the first one? The Kane. That one I thought was easy. Yeah. I thought that was easy. It hit his stick was high. Hit his
and it doesn't matter that it went off his body. Like, do you need to have possession to negate the high stick? Like, what's the rule there about how if it hits you high stick it, but then you're the next one to touch it? Doesn't that negate the high stick?
I have no idea. I never really thought about it. I think that if you high stick it, it's still a high stuck puck, right? Like, so I think So I think you have to let the other team touch it. That's what I think, at least. You know, like I'm not 100% sure on that. But
if you bat the puck down with a high stick, and then you're the one that touches it next, I don't know why. Why is it in my brain that negates the high stick? I'm tired. My brain isn't working.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're the next one to touch it, you're okay.
But it's still a high stuck puck. Like, you still hit it with a high stick, right? So I think that I just always assumed that it was. That's now we just call it, you know, you just call blow the whistle. So I thought that one was pretty easy. I didn't think that was very hard.
I was okay with that one.
The next one was Hyman's, right? The Hyman in front, you know, kind of getting into with Henrique. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, I think that might get called back. Like, just he just brushed him ever so slightly. I thought actually at high speed or at real speed, I thought that he was the reason that Binnington opened his pads, but it wasn't. But just, you could just see it. Like, they're just, I don't like the call. And I would have liked it the other way. If it had been, you know, on the same call on, in fact, I don't want to skip ahead, but I felt that was probably going to be called, knowing the way the games are going to be called. How did you see on the Hyman special?
Yeah, I was okay with the way that went. I think, you know, if you look at, you think about it like, What do you want to have count and not count in game six of a playoff or game six of a playoff series, right? Really, that's always the barometer for the way these things go.
Sure.
Game, whatever we're at, the mundaneness of it, you know, you can kind of get lost in that a little bit. But how would you feel if that were to decide, you know, a clinching game of a playoff series or something like that? So I'm okay with the Hyman one, okay with the Kane one. Getting through to the third one, though, and again, we'll hear from Stuart Skinner here, but from all the angles that I saw, now there is a screenshot going around that's showing the stick that got into the pads of Skinner there, that it was actually like flexed, like bent. There's a shot from up top. Zuby, maybe I'll send this to you and you can see if you can get it on. So my immediate reaction to that other one, Struds, was, oh, that was a bad challenge. Like, why did they challenge that? That one seems really obvious. But in the aftermath here, there's maybe a little bit more question about it. What was your sense on that one?
Well, first off, I think that when your goalie is adamant about the challenge, you know, maybe you err on the side of believing him, you know, yeah. So for an Oblak, he's not saying, no, Stu, sorry, we didn't see it. I think, and I'm not saying that's the reason it is, but if you're a coin toss and your goalie believe it is, you probably go with your goalie.
Yeah.
Your gut, because your goalie's the one there. I saw the screenshot. I wonder if there wasn't a little bit of flex also for maybe from the ice. That's always difficult, right? You got to be careful because also the ice is pretty hard as well. So it could be a little bit of flex on that stick from the ice as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think there was much there. You know, in real time, you couldn't see it. At least I couldn't see it. And then when they slowed it down, it wasn't like it stopped him from getting his pad across. I didn't feel like. Now, Stu would probably say differently, but I was fine with that call as, or that being a non-call. I guess a non-call would be because it was already called on the ice. So I was fine with that. So I guess the only one, the Hyman, I guess I agree with it. I don't love it, but I get it in the spirit of the rule.
Yeah, I think you need to let your staff make the calls, right? I think you need to let the guys that are, and I'm not saying that they didn't, but to your point about how Skinner was pretty insistent on it. So, okay, if you feel you were interfered with, right, then let your bench know, signal to them, hey, like that definitely you guys got to make sure so that they're aware. But then I think you just go through your process. And at the end of the day, the buck stops with, you know, the head coach as to whether it's a good time or not. But the video team making a recommendation, you know, I don't think it matters how passionate Stu Skinner is about it in the moment. I think you have to go through the exact same process every time and it needs to be clinical. So I would respectfully disagree with you there about the goaltender really being emotional about it, right? They're emotional. They're in the game.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I don't know. If you're a coin toss, so which way do you go? If your goalie looks passionate, do you do it or not?
Yeah. Knobloch said post-game, too, they saw the stick flex, and that's why they challenged that from Swanee 9. Now, let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox here. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I mean, that's a flexing stick. It's definitely into the hands and the pads of Stuart Skinner, so he would have definitely felt that pressure. Now, that looks like a damning shot, but, like, you got to watch it kind of in real time and know, okay, what happened in the immediate aftermath of that? What happened, you know, how much did that affect his ability to make a save, Struds?
That looks to me like a stick flexing on the ice, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
What is he attached to there? Is he attached to...
Might be into the pads.
The front right pad. Could be. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In general, I dislike any review. So, you know, my tolerance for the one, which one was it? They reviewed for about 5 minutes and just go right to a TV timeout after.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
Okay. So here's the suggestion I'm going to make. Then we'll hear from Stuart Skinner. Okay. Television networks, we now give you full permission. If something is being reviewed, go to break. Go to break and come back and tell us what the decision is. Like, there are certain times on the score clock where you reach a certain time and it's time for a commercial break, right?
Yeah.
So goal gets scored. Oh, it's being reviewed. We'll be right back. Because you had the goal celebration. Yay, yeah, scores. Hey, oh, they're challenging. They're challenging. Now a word from our sponsors. And then come back and have it be like, if you want out of the break, roll in, like tape. If the ref makes his decision during the break, tape it. You can tape it and then you can roll that back in. There it is, folks. The decision is made. But to have everybody sitting there for 4 or 5 minutes for a decision and then go to commercial break, and that happened twice tonight. Mm-hmm. I think the TV networks need permission to go to break on the challenge, unless it's like, you know, but late in a game, you wouldn't have a commercial break ready to go. So I say do it. Go to commercial and tell us what's up when you come back.
Well, no one's turning the channel. No one's getting up to turn the channel when they're waiting on that call. It's actually probably those would be very valuable sponsorship reads or ads.
Better value for the sponsors there.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Weis Johnson sound box and hear from Stuart Skinner. Want to remind you that they are offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive and keep the air in your home clean, because if there are more forest fire issues this year, the filtration system will help take the smoke out of the air in your home, and especially helpful to people with respiratory issues. Contact them for this amazing deal by visiting Weis-Johnson.com today. Weis Johnson, Weis Johnson, whoa. Ahead of me. You're Stuart Skinner.
It was a long game. I think the refs had a couple, tough choices to make. sometimes the game kind of happens like that. But you just got to do your best to keep momentum on some sort of way. Momentum wasn't on our side today. We I thought the guy interfered with me. Really hard for a ref to see it, but and then obviously we got a penalty. Then we're on the PK for basically the whole second period. Gave up a 5-on-3, 4-on-3. So momentum was definitely on their side, and I thought we did a good job on being able to gain it back.
Did you feel
super choppy, Strud? Like super choppy in all the penalties and guys not be allowed to be involved in the game. Like I thought the first period was even choppy in terms of just completing passes and making simple plays, and then that happened in the second.
It's a hard game to play to be a part of. You know that. I hated when there was a review or there was like some of the glass went out or a long entry on the ice. And I'm not saying I dislike, someone laying down, but I just hate that. It just, those disruptions are just brutal because you're trying to get in the flow, especially, if you're the top guy, even if you're a top guy, there's quite a few penalties being killed and you're not getting out there if you're on the penalty killing team. And then if you're a guy that is, neither penalty power play or you're not on penalty kill, you're sitting out for that long stretch and you got to get your legs going. The coach like, we need you here. We're like, I haven't been out there in 10 minutes. Like I need to get going here. Right. So it was just a weird, weird game and very fitting the way it ended. You kind of knew it would be something kind of lucky. But the Oilers get 1 point in a game that honestly, I'm not sure that they didn't play. I thought they were fine. Like they weren't amazing, but they weren't terrible. It was just one of those games and you're going to have one of those games every now and then.
What do you think of the Braden Schenn goal, the go-ahead goal that ended up in a 2-on-1 there?
Yeah. Tough spot there. So, Bouchard, it's a little bit actually like the overtime winner. Where it was a puck that, it's going to be a weird bounce and he's kind of going to get it. And you've got to, that puck cannot get by you. That's just that's the rule, because if it gets by you, it's a 2-on-1. So you have to, you maybe get down, take a knee, bend the knee, make sure it hits you and keep it in front of you, or you back off and play it when you know what the angle is coming off of. So that's a tough bounce, but we saw the same thing from Ekholm overtime. So, those two guys who have played so well had some unfortunate things happen to them today.
Do you think that McDavid and Hyman both going left in the offensive zone rather than right on a just to make sure? Like they kind of got a little bit tied up and they both cut to the left, which meant and the puck was going that way, which means there was no hope of a back checker. Both their toes were pointed at the end boards when the turnover happened.
So as I remember it, there were two St. Louis Blues jumping to go get that puck, and there were two players behind there, right?
Yeah.
Two, Kulak and Bouchard.
Yeah.
So you're a player, you look up, you're like, it's a 2-on-2. Then all of a sudden it's a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
So, you could make the case that one of them has to try to get above one of the two Blues. So above means between them and your net. So now they have to skate through you. But you're not expecting that play off the boards from your D-man.
While there was a mistake there, Bouchard also pulled the puck off the out of the crease there after a solid back check on an odd man rush. So he kind of saved one there. CeCe saved one too. So there was some pretty good defensive plays overall. How do you think the Oilers played overall tonight, Struds?
It was a big game for the Blues. And I'm not putting it down.
Big game. What have they lost? 4 in a row? Like it was getting messy.
Well, then messy for them. They're probably watching the scoreboard, and the Kings lose. So now they're 3 points behind the Kings. I think they've played one more game, if I've got that correct. So it's a little bit of a battle, or maybe they're even. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's damn close. But I thought the Oilers, they were okay. You know, like they didn't give up a ton of chances. I thought Binghamton kind of got lucky tonight on some of his saves. And I always hate to say that about goalies because he had to make saves. Mm-hmm. But he kind of got lucky in some ways. They finally got to Parayko. I thought Parayko towards the end of the game started making a few mistakes out there. But they were okay. I thought they were okay. Like their special teams wasn't terrible. The power play maybe wasn't great. It was one of those games. Like I hesitate to really give it to them or to praise them because it was just a weird game where I think you have to appreciate, or we have to kind of understand how hard it is for players to kind of get into it when you're in and out and stops and starts and long game. It was a tough one. What did you think?
Yeah, like I said, I thought the energy level wasn't bad, but the execution was rough early. I think there was a lot of bouncing pucks and missed passes and weird passes and things that weren't working. Like, it was just one of those really choppy starts. And so, I don't know, I always think when that happens as a team, you kind of need to recognize it and simplify a little bit. And I don't think they did a very good job simplifying when things weren't going well for them. They just kind of continued to miss passes and such. The other thing I didn't like tonight, I mean, they were out hit 29-14 tonight. They can't come out and be crushing every single night. I understand that. But St. Louis clearly was a team that was motivated and feeling pressure and came out and set a certain tone. And I just thought the Oilers kind of physically didn't really do much to match that intensity level. They just kind of let that happen. And it's not about toughness or anything like that. I just mean the physical energy that St. Louis brought, I don't think the Oilers necessarily matched. So I was just kind of man. And you know, later on, they made the line change and the ice tilted and McDavid and Draisaitl did their thing and they salvaged a point off night for them. And you salvage a point on an off night. There was a good comment here. David W. says, having goals called back sucks, but in the end, the Oilers did too much cheating to try and generate offense. With goalie interference on the first attempt, the Oilers had made to score a second. M. Materi says, I mean, I ref for years. It's a tough job, but this was a weak game for them. So he didn't really love what the refs were bringing tonight. Some stranger, they leaked a lot of chances. Neil Garrity says, without the power plays, the Blues were in their own end 90% of the game. So I'm sensing some Oiler domination there, certainly through the second half of the game. Let's get to our relentless player of the night. And sorry, man, I got totally lost here in my scripts. Once again, UCAN Youth Services brings us our Relentless Player of the Night. They're a local charity that is absolutely relentless in helping get at-risk youth off the streets. They've got an amazing program to get them integrated back into the workforce. So if you are a business and want to learn how potentially your business could benefit and help at the same time, check them out. UCAN Youth Services. Struds, who's going to get the Relentless Player of the Night tonight?
But I'm going way off the board. In fact, off the board. It's not even on this board. It's okay. In fact on a different board. Blue Jays got pounded tonight.
No, wasn't there?
Yeah, no. Yeah, Ronel Blanco. 7 strikeout, perfect. No-hitter, not perfect, a no-hitter. And it was incredible. I was kind of watching it a little bit, you know, like trying to bounce back and forth because it's a no-hitter. Like, even if it's against the team that you kind of cheer for, it was impressive. He was up really, really good tonight. So I think Kyle Dubé would agree with me. When someone throws a no-hitter against the Blue Jays in the fifth game of the year season, you've got to give that guy the touch.
I love how far off the board you went with that one. That's a Relentless Player of the Night. How much pressure is there standing there in the like 6th, 7th, 8th inning? You've got one going and you just, I mean, everybody's watching. The whole baseball world, you hear about it. Everybody starts tuning in. Like, think about the different pressure situations in different sports. And in terms of pressure that a guy might feel during a regular season, that's got to be up there.
See, I think there'd be more pressure on the position players because you'd want to be the guy that drops a ball or has an error.
Literally. Yeah.
You know, like you're because you as a pitcher, you can't control what everybody else is doing around you. And so you're just kind of throwing your heat, hoping it goes well. Yeah. But you're now out there and you might be the right fielder. You haven't seen the ball all night, you know, and all of a sudden this guy hits a short
squib or whatever, and you're running up there trying to get it and you drop it and it's like, oh my God, like that'd be a lot of pressure. I think that would feel, that'd be an interesting pressure.
You don't want to, I mean, if the pitcher serves one up, he serves one up, right?
Yeah.
Happens, right? You don't want to be the donkey that drops a fly ball.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point by you. The way the rest of the players, the way the rest of the players can feel that pressure too. Okay, lots more to talk about from this game. When we come back in our takeaway segment, we'll chat a little bit about the lines. Did you notice that the lines were changed? Why? Why did that happen? What did we think? What did we think of where they landed? How about Leon Draisaitl and the penalties? How do we feel about that? We got Strutty's World, we got Take a Lap and Ask Us Anything. So lots ahead on the podcast. As we go to break, we will remind you that Strutty's appearance on the pod is brought to you by Kinprint. High quality apparel, promotional products to take your brand to the next level. Visit kinprint.ca. Lots more to come.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Time now for our takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Spring is here, and it's the perfect time to get ready for your summer adventures. Visit Martin Motorsports to find the perfect boat for you and your family. Surf boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, Sea-Doos, and Sea-Doo switches, plus all the water sports gear that you might need. Visit them online or in-store. MartinMotorsports.ca is the website. You can see everything that they have to offer. Getting excited about that. Strud, were you much of a water sports guy growing up? Did you skier? What'd you do?
Yeah, we'd go to friends. You know, I went to my cabin one time and it just fell apart. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm out. And that
what do you
was
mean?
It.
Like you had a bad experience or what happened?
No, I had the deal done. Everything was ready to go. I just had to sign it. And then I started thinking, I was 3 hours away.
Were going to buy a cabin.
Yeah, I got 20 weddings this summer. I'm like, I'm never going to be out here. I have to work out in the city. I'm like, I'm out.
Where were you buying?
Calling Lake. Beautiful. Okay. Nice lake, a little bit up north. It was a really nice spot. Really happy. Like not a fancy cabin, but a nice lake. I just set him up. I just walked away. I'm like, my realtor's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Drove home. That was it.
That was the end of it. And years later, how do you feel about that decision?
I was right. I wouldn't have been there. I would have never been there. Yeah. You know, like I would have had to move a gym out there or something.
Yeah.
Like Rocky, which goodness I guess sakes. It was doable.
See, you're the guy that just wants to have lots of friends who shop at Martin Motorsports, right? The guy who's got the cabin on the lake, that goes to Martin Motorsports and buys the fancy stuff. You just go sort of leech off those guys. I've got buddies like that too. Those are the good buddies. For sure. Okay, let's get to our takeaways. By the way, somebody mentioned maybe wanting to hear in the last segment, what did you think of Evander Kane dropping the mitts tonight?
Yeah, I like that. I didn't like the penalty he got for taking the helmet off. It's, you know, again, I wasn't on the ice. So I didn't see it, but you know, you're kind of just wrestling and it just happens sometimes. I think there's a difference between pulling a guy's his helmet off and then actually getting into it and then kind of having it pop off. I didn't like that call. I'm sensitive to that one.
Yeah.
But I like that hit. I thought Kane was the guy who, you know, was the initiator. And, you know, Louis, I think put it well, like when he gets engaged and he's talking like that, he just takes his game to another level. So yeah, I was fine with it. I thought it was great.
That was tough after having a goal called back, right? Like he's really fighting it from a goal scoring standpoint.
Right.
You know, like this is a long run for him and the offensive production is just not there. He's getting bounced around the lineup. You could see the look on his face. He argued with the ref right away. Like that was tough.
It is. It is frustrating. I think he's trying to work himself out of this, going to the net, trying to get shots at being physical. And I believe in his game and what he'll bring. And I think he'll get a few goals for the end here and kind of get it going towards playoffs.
Okay, let's get to the line combinations. What did Boren Fogle do to be replaced by Corey Perry, do you think? what do you think went into that decision making?
Okay, I obviously don't have a direct line to that coach. I think he wanted to just see what it looked like. I think he wanted to see, what does this look like? You know, the lines won't be static in playoffs. And he said, will this line function, or could this line function like this if I want maybe a little bit more heaviness on that line being with Leon and Henrique?
What did you think?
I think I like better Fogle there. But it's just that, like, how many shifts did they actually have? You know, like, you got to be careful when you're starting, not you, but me, everyone in general. Like, what did they play, 7 minutes together? And we're like, I'm like, oh, it didn't work. You know, like, it's.
Yeah, but Struds, why? Like, what? Like, why? Because I think it does matter. You show up to the rink, all of a sudden you're on a different line. If you're Warren Fogle, you're like, okay, I guess I'm on the third line now. Fine. You're Corey Perry on the top, or on one of the top couple of lines. That's where you morning skate. That's the way you start the game. Would you not agree that if things go well, the lines you start the game with will be the lines you finish the game with in an ideal world, right? So this wasn't just sort of like, oh, tinkering and whatever. And it, no, they changed the lines, and he did it purposefully. I'm just not, I just don't understand why.
Well, that's why I think my reason is only one. I think he wanted to see what that line looks like.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to get a sense if those guys can play together, like what other lines look like. Because he doesn't, you know, he's moved around quite a bit, but I don't think we've seen that combo together.
Yeah. And Neil Garrity says, I trust the guy that is coaching the team. Listen, he's shown a really nice touch. I don't disagree with you, Neil. I guess I'm just, my sense on Corey Perry is this. Corey Perry should most likely be on the fourth line, maybe the third line. There are going to be night Struds at his age. He's got braces on both knees. There's going to be some nights where he looks like he has it more than others. On the nights where it looks like he has it, elevate him, right? Give him some more ice time, elevate him. But I just don't like the idea of starting him there, because now you're making a change mid-game if it doesn't work and you're swapping things around and stuff. I think line continuity is important, and I think they finally were starting to get a bit of momentum with the lines, and then he changed them. And I just don't understand why you change the lines when things had been going fairly well and that line had been contributing. I didn't get. And I quizzed him a little bit before they went on the road. He talked about how, whether they're at home or on the road, that could affect the line combinations they decide to use. And I kind of asked him, well, why? Like, why change lines on the road? And he didn't have a firm answer for it, but it might have something to do with whatever philosophy he has for, you know, changes or matchups or being on the road or at home. I got the sense he was going to change it, and I was sort of asking him about it, and then he changed it. So I don't know. Don't get it, man. Don't get it.
Yeah, no, I think that's your answer, is that he's just, he hasn't seen, he wants to see what he's got. I'd rather find out on a Tuesday or whatever night it is, Monday night, before the playoffs, that this does or doesn't work, or I like the looks of this rather than later. But I will say this, Henrique looks pretty comfortable beside Draisaitl.
Yeah.
There was a play in the second where he got the puck along the wall, kind of the neutral zone, and he just kicked it. He kind of just knocked it behind him up the wall, and Draisaitl went through that thing with full speed and got it. And Leon loves that.
Yeah.
He loves wingers that can get him the puck. It was speed right in his wheelhouse. And I mean, every center does. Leon's not the only guy. 97, everyone likes it. But I thought that was, he's, I'm telling you, man, he's Nugent Hopkins. That's
what you're talking about, Henry. You're like a proud papa, bud.
I am.
Smiling ear to ear right now, your face all lit up.
Yeah. He's like my fourth child. Older child, but yeah, I'm telling you, I just you can just see smart. He's a smart hockey player, and that's what he does. He's not super fast. His shot isn't incredible, but he's just a smart hockey player. And Leon, I believe, likes smart because he's a smart hockey player.
Trizen chimes in and says, sometimes we get these curious decisions from Chris Knobloch. Defense blender out of nowhere. I agree. That was weird. Perry Fogle swap out of nowhere. Weird challenge tonight. A coach makes so many decisions, so many decisions. And, you know, I think for the most part, he makes pretty sound ones, and I understand why he does most of what he does. But again, that one was confusing to me. They're in a search for continuity. They're in a search for something that works. They're in a search for, part of me wondered if he wasn't waiting to maybe elevate Connor Brown Like if should try that third line out and see how that was, right? Like that's an interesting third line to me.
Could be.
It is. Yeah. And then if it didn't work with Perry, maybe Connor Brown gets the bump. They end up going to McDavid and Draisaitl, and that ends up, you know, tilting the ice for them significantly. How long do we actually think those two aren't going to be on a line for the playoff struds? Like a period? Two?
I think it depends.
First time they trail in a second period? Yeah,
it depends who you're playing. I think depends on the moment, what's happening. Like today I thought it was actually a good time to do it. You know, but then he went away from it again. You know, he went into it, then he came away out of it, and I like that. Put it together, put it back together, then take it away. Kind of get your lines back together. Get everyone playing.
Oiler Nation was loving it. There was one single shot as they went to break. I think it was either when they were going to break or intermission or something like that. I saw it. I noticed it. I knew it would come up on the stream, and it has. Neil Garrity says, I liked 29 giving Kane a tap on the leg in the penalty box. Did you see that, Struts?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Everything is fine, everybody. Everything's fine.
I mean, teammates disagree sometimes.
Sure. And,
you know, there's so many cameras out there going to catch it, but imagine the conversations you don't catch, be off camera, in the dressing rooms, at practice, on the planes. Like, I had a teammate one time who we were in a bar, you know, and he stands there, as I hear, hold my watch. I'm like, why? I'm going to go beat up my buddy, my teammate. I'm like, okay. Then I was a voice of reason. Like, okay, let's just calm down.
We
calmed it down, but we almost had a fight in a bar with two guys that were teammates. I never really got to answer, but that happens. That was a long ways away from the cameras of Sportsnet, I'll tell you that.
I tried to fight a teammate, and I tried to drag him out of the dressing room to go back on the ice at practice and fight because we were doing a drill and he stuck me.
Oh, geez.
I got like, whatever. I took a stick in the teeth, and so I was kind of bleeding and I was messy. And so I went back and Spike was looking at me, and I go back onto the ice for practice just in time for a bag skate. So now I'm just frustrated and angry, and coach is yelling at me. I remember he goes, Reshog, are you ever not hurt? That's what Shaq said to me. I was so mad, Struds. I went back into the room. I'm like, Donnie, get back out there. We're going. Like, get back out there right now. And right, Donnie's just looking at me like, come on, Reesh. Like, what? And then our captain, AJ, came over. He's like, come on, guys. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes. Struds, the love, hate, push-pull of teammates.
Crazy.
All right, that was Takeaways, brought to you by Martin Motorsports. When we come back, Struds and I are going to take a lap, and then Struddy's World. Ask us anything as well. Lots still ahead.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. Time now to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it is even better now. Look at that thing. It's a beauty. The Backscape 2.0, engineered with the new friction fit handle that lets you effortlessly snap in the shaver in and out to touch up some other parts of your body as well. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin, doesn't abuse it. Go to backscape.com. That's backscape.com. Got a promo code for you. GYB10 gets you 10% off their advanced and deluxe 2.0 kits. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Struds?
Going to Minnesota this past weekend, we saw Minnesota pull their goalie against Vegas. Didn't get it. They lose the point. And after there's a bit of an altercation between Ryan Hartman, a member of the Minnesota Wild, kind of giving it to the refs. He wasn't happy about something. And he just throws the stick onto the ice.
Yeah.
Today was confirmed 3-game suspension. And I get it. And So to me, this is a bit of a news story because, I mean, Minnesota's out. I think they're 7 or 8 points out of the playoff spot. They're not getting there. But, you know, you just got to think about it. Was it worth it? Like, was that throwing your stick on the ice or a stick on the ice worth it? Now, he didn't throw it at someone. Even the league agreed. It wasn't like he was malicious.
It was in the direction of the ref, though. I mean, yeah, a little bit further left, but yeah. In the general vicinity of, I think, would be accurate. Right.
But the league agreed with him that it wasn't it wasn't trying to intend to injure. But it's just, I'm going to use the word dumb. It's just a dumb play because now he's already on the radar of the league. He's been suspended a number of times. Now this is just another notch in the belt of what you've done. And it didn't hurt him. I mean, it's not going to hurt him now, but let's say there are 2 points out of the playoffs. How would your teammates look upon you? Now you're sitting out 3 games because of that selfish play. Yeah. So this has got to be a learning lesson for Hartman. And I think the Wild have to help him.
Yeah. I mean, Hartman is Hartman, right? He always has played with that kind of grumpy edge. He's always been that guy that kind of rides that line. It's a fine line. Opponents don't love the guy. Teammates, I think, probably appreciate him. But yeah, that was over the line. That was goofy. And we don't see that kind of thing very often anymore, man. Like remember the Jimmy Playfair ripping his shirt and tie off on the bench? We don't see stuff like that anymore.
But it's just not worth it. It's not, it's just like, if you're going to get a suspension, make it worth it. Like really, like make it 3 games.
Like hurt someone, Struds? Is that what you're saying?
Like hurt someone? If it's warranted, yes, I would say make it worth it. Like if you're going to take a 2-minute minor, make it worth it.
So tell me about some of the times you were suspended.
I never was, and I wish I was.
You claimed it was your biggest regret of your career is you never took a suspension.
It's my biggest regret, not being suspended. I think I would have been better off getting suspended every few years. But
interesting.
Anyways, moving on. The Flyers lose to the Islanders in overtime, and this game was 2-2 at one point. And then the Islanders kind of go on a run. And anyways, they lose, and it wasn't played the way that their coach, the Flyers coach, John Tortorella, felt this should be played. Listen to these comments post-game from Johnny T. Here we go.
There are certain people that they don't have a clue how to play or just don't have it in them to play in these type of situations. And this is why I'm glad we're playing them. I'm glad because we have to figure things out as far as what we're going to become as a team here. That was embarrassing in the second period for the Philadelphia Flyer uniform, the way we played. Embarrassing.
Whoa, too embarrassing, Struds.
Yeah. It's interesting because if you break that down, he says that my players don't have these players don't have a clue on how to play in there. Part of that's got to be on the coaching, right? Some of that's on the coaching. Yeah. And there are some players who you can tell them 1,000 times, show them, they'll never get it because I don't want to say they don't care, but their awareness or game management is zero. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a bit of both. And I think for John Tortorella and Danny Briere and company, they have to identify which ones they can coach up or can be coached up and which ones just don't get it, because those are the two camps, generally speaking, NHL players.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We're talking about John Tortorella way too much. I don't know that I'd start chucking players out of my organization because this coach can't figure them out. You know what I mean?
But then you're being critical of the coach, and that's fine.
I am being critical of the coach. I think, for sure. I think we've been doing nothing but talking about John Tortorella for like 2 weeks here, and you think it's getting old for us. Imagine how the players in the room feel. So before you start, you know, judging players and their overall, I mean, players don't click with certain coaches, and John Tortorella is a guy that a certain player is not going to click with that coach, and that doesn't mean that's not still a good player. So I don't know. At what point is it on the coach to figure out different ways to get different stuff out of different players? Does he just get to be nothing but what he's always been and who he's always been, end of the story? Or at a certain point, do you look at him and go, look, this is a good player. Not perfect, and lots of warts, and I know you're frustrated. You're going to have to figure it out.
No, I agree. There's no doubt that some of this falls on the coach, but I've also played with players that could never understand the moment, the moment that is here. This is it. We need you now. This is where it's at, right? Like, and there's both. That's why I think this is on both sides. But let's be honest. I think I've said this already, but I mean, I didn't expect Philadelphia to be hanging on to a playoff spot with a handful of games to go here.
Yeah,
I
think it is Detroit's impressive.
It's incredible. And do you think about they traded away Sean Walker and got a first round pick? Like they're in a pretty good shape heading to this offseason, and they could get the gates of first round blowout versus whoever they play in that four games.
Owner will be happy for sure. I mean, he's just been in the headlines so much, which I guess, you know, we should be happy about because it gives us stuff to talk about. But for sure, a player on that roller coaster in that room through all of this, like, man, oh man, oh man.
You know, it's going to end.
You
know, it's going to end.
Yeah.
Like, I think at some point here, it's going to, and that's why I think if you're a long-term deal, you're like, just be patient.
Yeah.
It's going to end.
Just wait it out, man. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That was Taking a Lap brought to you by Backscape. Very quick commercial break and then Strutty's World when we come back.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximum Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. If you haven't yet had the experience of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, do yourself a favor and grab a bottle today. Brindley family's been crafting Shipwreck in small batches for decades. Their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwreck, fans, available at your local liquor retailer. And as always, please enjoy responsibly. Ready?
Remember the first time I heard about Sidney Crosby? Sid the Kid. Oh, man, were people fired up about this guy. And even when you're playing the NHL, you're kind of somewhat aware of players that maybe they're in the periphery or in the minors or whatever in Europe. But I remember he was drafted. And it was exciting. And then I got to play against him. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is good. And he's been really good. And, you know, tonight he reached a milestone that only one other player ever has done, and that's Wayne Gretzky. To be honest, I'm not a huge stat guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know this was on the radar for Sidney Crosby. That's mm-hmm. how little I would track, you know, individual stats on streaks and such, unless someone presents it to me. Well, Shogar sent this over to me. Tonight, Sidney Crosby, with his 82nd point of the year, has now have, 19 straight seasons with a point. 19 straight season with a point per game season. Ties Gretzky mm-hmm. for most in NHL history, which is incredible. So I'll go through the list of players that have done this. Gretzky, Crosby. Pretty short list.
Yeah.
Pretty short list. Absolutely incredible. The other guys at 17 would be Gordie Howe. Malkin, 15. Lemieux, Messier, Dion, Sackett, Francis. Few guys at 15. But Sidney Crosby is one of my all-time favorite players. I think he is perfection in so many different ways of what he does. But I didn't realize that a point a game was where he was at here. 19 years in a row. Think of the great players who have not done it. Shogar, it's an incredible accomplishment for Sid. And I believe it does place him in that upper echelon of all-time greats.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. We've watched an all-timer here over the last decade and a half or however long it's been. Like, he's so good. How do you feel about the way this is lining up to conclude for him as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins? Do you think, like, the value of only ever having pulled on one sweater? I understand. I get it. But, like, how do you feel about that, Struds? You
want to 5 years somewhere ago,
and take a run?
Well, 5 years ago, Ron Hextall, I think he was trying to retool on the fly. But the people got impatient. They brought in Kyle Dubas, and we're going to hurry this up. We're going to speed it up. And it just been,
Eric
and
I'm Carlson. Not blaming.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Dubas. I think
blame him. Well, it's okay. Yeah,
I know he gets a lot of credit for it. But anyways, I think that 5-6 years ago, they should have looked at it and said, okay, we're, or, you know, maybe that's a little bit long, but you get the point. A time ago, they should say, we're going to move on from some of these guys. We're going to retool on the fly, a little bit like LA, and hopefully have one more kick of this can. Because right now it's very dark there. You know, I'm looking at this team. I think they got to try to move off from Riley Smith this offseason to get some cap space and just to get some assets back to try to grow this up again. The problem is those assets you're getting aren't going to help you until Sid is probably retired. So I think they got, I think you have to have an honest, I would honestly, you know, I send Mario in to talk to Sid and say, Sid, where are you at?
What's up? What do you want to do?
Because, you know, I love, Malkin's been a great one, Letang, but it's been all, it's always been Sid. It's always been Sid.
Yeah. Obelisk 21 says, how can you watch Carlson and Burns in San Jose and think Carlson and Letang would be different? Fair point. It just never made sense.
I've been saying that. I've been saying that. And you think about the school, let's go back to that. Essentially, the Sharks traded out Pavelski for Carlson. You turned the heartbeat of your team out of your group to bring in Carlson to duplicate what you had already.
And Dubas did that more than once. Dubas did that in Toronto too. He brought in Tyson Barrie when they already had Morgan Riley, and it just didn't work. Of course it didn't work.
Yeah. It's so, it's so clear from the outside. And I get you're trying to add, get more good, better players. I get it. But, and listen, the Carlson wasn't the final nail in the coffin. That the team was heading this way already. Those guys are getting old. They're just getting old, man. Yeah. But I don't know how you – I think you have to have a talk with Sid, because I would love to see him finish as a Penguin, but the next 3-4 years could be dark.
You want to give away a hat at the start of next segment, Strudies? Come up with a quick trivia question?
Sure.
You come up with something there? You got one ready and loaded? Okay. That was Strudies World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. When we come back, we're going to give away a Got Your Back hat, courtesy our pals over at DeBoers and Kinprint, and then ask us anything. Zuby's been soliciting some of your questions in the stream on the Weiss Johnson YouTube stream, and we'll get to some of those as well. So stay with us.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
All right, time for a little giveaway action. Our Kin Print hat giveaway, courtesy our friends over at DeBoers, aiming to help you play better golf with golf fitting instruction, after-sales support, and merchandise and clothing as well. Struds, I've been driving Scott over at DeBoers absolutely bonkers because I ordered the SkyTrack that I'm using for the simulator through them. And I ordered the hitting mat through them. But it takes a couple of days, right? I've probably texted Scott 10 times in the last like 3 days. Like, it's coming. Do you know when it's coming? When's it going to be here? It's like, he's like my Santa Claus right now. He tells me when the fun starts. It's been super annoying.
For him.
Yes, for him. That's what I meant. 100%. Yeah. No.
Yeah,
they're being nothing but helpful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure he regrets inviting that into his life. He changed his number. Okay, I got a trivia question for you.
Yeah, what's the trivia question? And then we'll give you the instructions after. Go ahead.
Okay, with 6 more points, which player will Sidney Crosby pass to become 10th all-time in scoring in the NHL?
Oh, I like it. Repeat that one time.
So with 6 more points, which player will Sidney Crosby pass? I guess he'll tie. So 7 more points.
Oh,
who is the player who's going to pass the next on the all-time scoring list to go from 11th?
Okay. So that's the trivia question. If you win, you get to go pick up a hat at DeBoers. You'll also get $25 in store credit. So to enter, just send us an email with the answer. GYBpod.com is our website, and you'll see GYB swag up in the corner. So fill out the form there and send us the answer. And if you get it right, your name will go into a draw and we'll let you know if you end up winning the hat. And once again, pick it up in store over at DeBoers. They'll give you $25 of store credit as well when you go in there to pick it up. Golf season is coming. Time to start picking up some of those knickknacks. All right, time for Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. If you're a fan of the chicken wings, got to go on over to Match Pub Ice District and tackle their 5-amped plates of wings featuring flavors such as What's the deal, yo? Spicy Mango Tango, Nashville Hot. They are not your average wings. Match located adjacent to Rogers Place in the Grand Villa Casino. For more information, check them out online at matchpub.com. Zuby, you've been quiet tonight behind the scenes, bud. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, I hit my quota last night of we hit our Zuby
monthly capacity.
Yeah, for the and now I gotta we started a new month, so yeah, I gotta try to bank it. So yeah, here we are. Couple folks with some interesting stuff. Just quickly before we get to a question, JL said about this evening's game. That was the best case scenario. Screw LA and still get 1 point to secure home ice. I think that's that's a positive way to look at it. Obelisk on tonight's game said the Oilers were not even close to being as physical as they were against the Ducks. Seemed like an easy night for the Blues, D. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. I don't think you can bring that physicality every night. Tonight it felt like I thought the Oilers kind of were hoping for like kind of a like an easier game. And not to say they weren't ready, but you know, the St. Louis they had nowhere to go. They were standing on the edge of a cliff. They had to get this game.
It's almost like the Oilers knew that they had Dallas and Colorado coming up in 2 out of 3 nights, and were maybe conserving a little bit of the energy. By the way, Struds, I never asked you about the Draisaitl penalties. We were going to chat about that in takeaways, and then we moved on. I mean, obviously not smart. Is it? Does it come from the same place as those other ones were coming from that were bugging you? You're muted there.
Jeez. I didn't like the second one for sure. The second one, I thought it was clear that he was going to have to, the only place for a stick to go was to trip the player. You know, everyone's entitled to a couple bad penalties a year, right? And that was, he doubled him up tonight.
Mike Smith, Zuby says, folks, 250 watching, 25 thumbs up. Come on, we can do better than 10%. Yes, Mike Smith, please. And company, hit the thumbs up button because that helps with our algorithm, I guess. And then that puts us in front of more eyeballs. So if you don't mind giving us a thumbs up, we would appreciate that, Zuby. You know the way that stuff works. I don't.
Sort of. In fact, we're not even going to talk. We're going to sit here till we get up to 20%.
Okay. Let's just everybody be quiet.
No, I'm just kidding. No more podcasting until we get to our numbers up. No, just kidding. Okay. So, Swanee9, and there was a couple other folks, but Swanee9 particularly troubled by Nuge's game. He says, when can we talk about 93's compete and execution level? He's been pretty soft for too long. No 5-on-5 goals in 6 weeks playing with 97. He's been quiet, but do you think, I don't know, what do you think of his game of late?
Struds?
Well, I like the way he scored that goal tonight. Unfortunately, it was taken back, but he drove the net. And I feel last year now, there's probably some mathematicians out there who'll take a look and tell me if I'm right. His shot selection is from more to the outside of home plate than inside. And home plate, I kind of go between the dots, top of the circle to the top of the crease. I think he's had more shots outside of that than he has inside. I think last year when he was running off those goals, he was shooting from way more on the inside. He's got to find a way to get back on the inside. And tonight was a good start on that.
Yeah, I love that point. The one thing I will say, Struds, is I thought the Oilers had some really intelligent penalty kill happening. Just good sticks, really good clears. Yeah, for sure. I thought their penalty kill in a couple of instances, and he was a big part of that. I thought Henrique was really good in that regard too. Their penalty kill looked really sharp on a couple of those kills, and Nugent Hopkins was part of that. But fair point on the offensive production.
Just one more thought on Nuge. Taves Kane said, why don't they give someone else an opportunity on the first unit power play? Nuge is so predictable. No chance.
Zero
still,
chance.
I mean, they're still absolutely the fourth best power play.
World's best power play. Yeah. Like it's, and everything flows through Nugent Hopkins. I mean, you can go back to pretty much any order power play goal and he'll have made a rock solid play on the half wall on that left side. So no disrespect. Yeah. Absolutely zero chance.
Mike Smith said, I try those threats in the junior high classroom every time I lose. I think he's referring to us saying no more talking till we get those, get more thumbs up. I understand. Let's see. Oh, Obelisk said the blue. Going back to the disallowed goal on Skinner, the Blues player definitely pushed on Skinner's pad on that goal, but only Skinner knows how much it impacted his ability to extend the leg. The one little addition I was just going to make to that whole conversation is the puck went in near, like it appeared to go in near that spot where the stick was, and I think that's, I'm just in goalie mentality. I have an idea that that's why Skinner had sort of an emotional reaction to it. But yeah, I mean, it still seems like, isn't there a way, can't Skinner go, oh, my strap's untied, I got to come to the bench for a second and say, can you guys look at that one? I think, you know, like it did kind of feel like Skinner made the call. Did you guys feel that way too?
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. I thought that if it was a 50-50 in the coach's mind, if your goalie calls, I think you have to back your goalie up. I in that moment. And
I don't think you're going with it on 50-50. I don't think if your video guy is saying, yeah, it's 50-50, you're not challenging. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Skinner should have anything to do with it other than to say, check that.
Now, but I disagree. Because how many times have we seen Skinner do that ever?
But it doesn't matter, because if the guys who have seven looks at the video say, yeah, we're not sure here, I think you go with them. I think you have to go with the guys that have the video at their fingertips, and all the player on the ice does is flag it and go, yeah, that's like pass interference in football, right? How many often do receivers, mad they don't catch it, they get up, they're tapping their head, like interfered all the time, right? It's and it comes from a place of emotion and frustration and this, you know, and I'm sure Skinner felt it, and maybe it should have been called. But you have to have a system in place, and you have to rely on that system and take the emotion of the player out of it. I don't, because if the player comes to you mad, it's like, why didn't you challenge? You're like, we have a crew that sits there and gets 10 looks at it because the odds weren't in our favor. That's why we didn't.
But you don't think, when's the last time Skinner did that? When did he ask to be reviewed?
But why does that matter? Change your process?
No, because you just said in NFL, receivers do it all the time. They're touching their helmet. They're doing it. We haven't seen this from Skinner at all. So if I was a coach, he's pretty passionate. I've never seen him do this before. I'll go with him. If it's a 50-50, I'll go with him because he must know something.
He doesn't have a look at it all, though. We all know what you felt as a goalie is different than what it might look like on video. And the guys that are – this is the thing. He's doing it. The guys behind the scenes, their job is to have gone over every single video review all season long to understand what they're calling, what they've been calling lately. They would know in their mind which ones haven't. They have so much more information than Stuart Skinner, who's like, well, there's a lot of pressure on my pad and I think he interfered. Okay, that's the starting point. There's no way I think you should be making a challenge because you're like, well, my guy's really passionate about this and we're not sure. So yeah, for sure, Stu, we'll do that for you. I don't like it.
So this it's all right for football players to do it. The football players do it, and you should review it. But if he never does it, then you shouldn't do it, is what you're saying.
So that confused me.
Well, let's just move on. It's getting late. But I disagree. I agree. Yeah, 100%.
I love it. We needed Brownie tonight. Where was Brownie when we needed him to break the tie?
I'll tell you, the stream is equally divided. Or I shouldn't say equally. They're a little bit on Shauger's side. But Nathan Jameson said we missed Jeremy Kupel. X-Ray J said 100% Ryan. Neil Garrity said, I'm fine with Skinner making that call. MMA Terry says, a weak standard was set, so we challenged. Trizin says, Rashog dead on. Neil Garrity says, I agree with Strud. So everybody in on that topic still, but it's split. Okay, I asked people
Zuby, we're going to bed.
Okay, I asked people for a couple of... I have to ask Mike Smith's one, or he's... The threats do work on me. He's threatened me with a 7-paragraph hockey question if I don't ask this one. Mike Smith says... I want to know the largest lake trout Ryan has caught at Cold Lake and whether he's caught any walleye there.
We don't do a lot of trout. It's Jack. We cast for Jack, and not that big. I think I maybe pulled a 10-pounder out of there, but nothing that would blow your mind, I would say. I'm not much of an angler. I don't have the patience necessarily. Don't like to touch the fish once I get them out of the water. It's not, I'm not exactly a champ out there.
Real outdoorsman.
MMA Terry says, how many of your friends, Strutty, have cabins on the Shuswap or in the Okanagan? How many hands would you need to count them?
There's a few. Yeah. And they're when I was in Vancouver, they're trying to get me to buy one. I'm like, yeah, I get, but I'm like, I'm not going down there. Like I think I'm a boring guy. I know what I like. I want to be in Edmonton. I like it here. My family's here. My friends are here. I was very satisfied being here. I don't feel like I missed out.
I still can't believe you wouldn't trade your heated garage for a golf simulator in there. I can't believe that you wouldn't do that. All of my friends that I have told this to are all like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like they're blown away that Randine gave me the green light to do it because she's the one that was parking in the garage, right? My truck wasn't in the garage before. I can't believe you wouldn't take that trade, Struds. Oh, is he back? He disappeared. He's
back.
There.
I'm back. Yeah. No, I would suggest this to you. Let's revisit this when it's minus 40 next year. And if you're still as passionate about your indoor golf simulator, or if it's just something you hang up on. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Sounds good. We got one more Zuby or are we done?
Let me do two quick ones. Well, Mike Smith has, did you see his response to you, Shogger? He said, no. What a waste. He said a few other things too, but that was, he's disappointed in you for not.
Oh, being a cold lake and it is
a waste. Cold lake. Okay. Two more. I got two quick ones. Chris Rombo said, I want to know if Strutty had an Oyster Perpetual Rolex on the broadcast the other night on television. His wrist looked phenomenal.
Oh, that's yes. I was a wrist model. No, it's well, can I think of what it's called now? It's not a Rolex. It was a nice watch. I got it for I think it was a 400 or 500 NHL games. My wife and I bought it. Whatever, we bought it. Frank Mueller. That's what it is. A Frank Mueller.
Frankie Mueller. Nice.
There you go. Okay, last one. Chris Ramos again. But earlier in the night, he said, "Can we get some Masters predictions, guys? Who are you taking to win the Masters coming up here starting on Thursday?"
Is it up already? Wow, that really
Thursday,
stuck up on
I
a
think,
guy.
Yeah.
Nope. There's one more week, I think, bud.
Okay.
I thought there was one more week. Maybe I'm wrong.
I've just been watching. I know the coverage is already on TSN, but will that affect your prediction? You can still.
I thought there was one more in Thursday, April 11th.
Yeah, so we got time.
So there's still a week. So there's one more tournament, but it's never too early to start talking about the Masters. I like Wyndham. Scheffler is just so dialed in, though. Although, did you see Scheffler this weekend blow it, Struds?
No, I didn't. I didn't have a chance to.
Yeah, so he had a putt to push a playoff and missed a short putt and handed a tournament to, I can't remember who won it. But it was a rare sort of missed opportunity for Scheffler. He would have won the first three tournaments of the season or the year, but just missed. But he's so dialed in. He's so good. He's just unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to look it up. I watched the Masters and the British Open. That's the two I watch. And that's about it.
Very good.
Someone earlier said Nick Taylor. That wouldn't be my prediction, but that might be my hope. And then Gomez very wisely says, what about your WrestleMania predictions? And I know you guys won't have one, but really quickly, I'll just say that The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to win on night one, but there's going to be a turn. The Rock's going to turn on him there and help Cody win the championship on night two. That's my prediction for WrestleMania.
Oh, boy. Bold.
Majorly offside, yeah, buddy. I can't hit this enough times to let you know how offside you were bringing the WWE onto this podcast. Time out for our gem of the night. Strutty, what do you got tonight? What tickled your fancy? What did you like?
I liked it when you came clean that you're irritating our good friends at DeBoer's by your relentless pursuit of wanting to know when your, what is it again? Your golf club is coming.
My sky track. It's my hitting mat.
I feel bad for them because I know before I changed this backdrop, you were all over me.
Oh, yeah.
So my friends at DeBoer's, I feel your pain.
I'm like a dog on a bone. When I get it in my brain, I'm like dog on a bone. All right. Good job tonight, Strud. Zuby, good job to you as well. Big thanks to everybody who joined us on the live stream. Massive thanks to all of our sponsors as well, including our amazing title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Oilers with a break tomorrow. Then they got the Stars Wednesday, the Avalanche Friday, and the Calgary Flames Saturday. We'll drop a postgame pod on Wednesday. Till then. Oh, by the way, special edition of the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast tomorrow. I'm hosting that bad boy, sitting in the big chair for Darren Dreger. So if you get a chance, check that out tomorrow as well. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. See you, Streds.
See you, guys.